The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus.
So I just got back from 2 weeks in Florida. Don't be jealous, don't be mad. It wasn't that great. Only because we never had one day of sunshine. It was cold. It was in the 70s. And the other disappointing thing was I had my heart set on going deep sea fishing. I've never done that before because I like fishing so much. I had it all set up, and the guy sold the boat. And besides, it was probably too cold. But I've probably said this before. When you have these readings like this about fishing, it just reminds me how much I enjoy that. Part of the reason I like fishing so much is kind of an excuse for male bonding. My father raised us boys on fishing. We were always going fishing. Every chance we'd get, we'd go out to the Portage Lakes in a little rowboat. And we always took our vacations in a cottage in Canada to go fishing. And it's kind of something I carried on, that desire and that love for that. My grandson, who will be 20, he's kind of attached to his gaming. But he will drop everything to go fishing. He just loves it so much. Probably because we started when he was young. But so we have our annual thing we do. We go in April, we go up to the Chagrin River, and we fish for steelhead trout, and then we take a whole week, and we go to an upper peninsula of Michigan in a cottage, and then one day we set aside to go to Lake Erie on one of those charters. So we really like fishing. And my dad and mom, they moved to Florida, where they lived for 3 years till my dad passed, and he had one of them bass boats, and we used to go down there and fish for a whole week. My dad and I would go out every morning at 6 o'clock. And most of the time, we never caught anything. But he always liked that saying. He'd say, you know, fishing is an excuse to ponder. And it's true, it is. So I find that the gospel is very intriguing. Because here you have four guys who are out fishing. And they're not fishing for recreation. This is their livelihood. This is what they do. And Jesus calls them. And he doesn't say to them, let's take a day off from this and you know, do something. No, he tells them to abandon. That's a critical word there. Abandon their nets and follow him. So I just can't imagine being on one of my fishing excursions on Lake Erie, and there's Jesus standing at the shore, and he, you know, as he did at Galilee, and he asked us to abandon our fishing and follow him. And I know groups of guys I go fishing with, and they're like, I could just see him. What do you mean? We don't have our limit yet. We haven't run out of beer and sandwiches. We still got a few more cigars. I could just see him. And like, you know, Jesus would say, no, guys, this is it. You know, now is the time. We're not delaying this. We're not going to wait till you have your limit. Peter, James, and John, Andrew, they didn't wait till they had their limit. They abandoned immediately and followed them. And even more to the point, they were leaving something behind. It was probably generations in their family life. You know, this was their father's business and his father and his father. And this was going to be their future. That was their future. That was their career. And yet they left. And I think to myself, imagine that father, John and the twins, James and John, their dad, just being left in the boat like, hey, where are you going? Like, what do you mean? You're following that guy? Who is this guy? And it doesn't tell you, you know, it's kind of fun sometimes to embellish it a little bit. What was the dad thinking? Who's this Jesus you're following that he's so important that you're going to leave behind everything? But that's what he called them to do. That's what he calls all of us to do. So the question I have is, what did Jesus see in these guys? You know, maybe there were others, but they're the ones that he chose right? And they're the ones that were called to something very radical. And I think it begs the question, would you leave your livelihood or your parents or your family or your career to follow someone? Because that's what they did. They chose Jesus because he chose them. And I often wonder, you know, what did Jesus see in these guys? What was it he was looking for? Was it a particular talent? Was there passion? Was it something about the way they went about their work? Maybe it was their respect of their father or their commitment to their trade? Did he see some particular talent that could be transferred from being fishermen to being fishermen of men? Or did he know that under the layers and layers of male ego and the masks and the facades and the macho, that these men were waiting to tell their story, longing for something, longing to rend their hearts, to be vulnerable, to share what was deep inside them, to bare their souls and discover their true self? Men with restless hearts, waiting for someone to discover their real talents. And that someone is with a capital S, right? The one. And it's a very powerful thing when this happens to us. And when someone puts their guard down and reveals their heart, they become real. I've had those experiences. And I want to share one with you about fishing, a fishing story. A couple of years ago, I was invited to go fishing on Lake Erie with a group of guys. They were already there. There was like 8 or 10 guys. And they're renting a trailer for a whole week, like 7 days of fishing. Like, imagine what that trailer was like. But one of the guys in the group knew me and said, you know, it'd be really cool if you came up and joined us. So I decided, all right, I'll come up. He said, well, you need to be there at like 6 o'clock in the morning because that's, you know, we go out at daybreak. We're out there all day. So come on up and here's where we're at, blah, blah, blah. So I decide, you know, it's midweek. These guys have been in this cottage now, fishing every day, playing cards and all that. I decide to go up the night before, unannounced. Not a good idea. Because, you know, when I got there and I could hear the poker game going on and the cigar smoke and all the stuff that men do when they're together for a week, but I really can't tell you because it's like they'd have to kill me. Really, they wouldn't kill me. But there I was, and the guy says, what are you doing here? He panicked. He says, you shouldn't be here. I said, why not? He says, well, you're a deacon of the church. We're in here playing cards and drinking beer and smoking cigars. I'm like, okay, I wasn't born yesterday, right? But there was something about my presence. They were like, oh, man. And I walk in, and the guy, he introduced me. He said, this is Deacon Adair. And the guy's like, there was this silence. Are you a minister? Oh, great. There goes all our fun. I thought, oh, come on, really? So, you know, after a couple hours, I finally thought, yeah, you know, I'm going to excuse myself and go sleep in my van. I had one of those, back in the 90s, they had those vans, you know, that were all decked out with beds in them and all that, you know, that you don't see them around much anymore. Conversion vans. I had one of those. So I go out and I decide, you know, don't worry about me. You guys keep having fun. I'll go in my van. I got a little reading to do, and we're going to be out early at 6 o'clock. So there I was out there. And what do you know? After things quieted down and all the lights were out, About 2 o'clock in the morning, there's someone knocking on my door of the van. And I didn't know this guy. I don't know, you know, I never met him before except that evening. And he had two chairs. And he says, "Can I talk to you? Can you mind?" And for the next 2 hours, like till 4 o'clock in the morning, he just poured out his heart about the problems he was having with his marriage. And, you know, one of his teenagers was always in trouble. His career was in the tank. And he just wanted to talk, right? And that's what we did. What was he looking for? You know, what did he see? And what did I see? You know, what does Jesus see behind all the masks and the facade and the egos and the walls we build? You know? And I'm not saying we shouldn't have fun. Yeah, guys, go do that stuff. Women, go do what you do. There's nothing wrong with that. We need that. That's part of our recreational time. But sometimes you gotta break through all that and lower their nets, so to speak, right? Lower your guard, abandon the ego, the false self, reveal the true self, call our bluff. And when that happens, it's very healing and it's very redeeming. And sometimes it happens very subtly when we evangelize someone. And there's a huge difference between proselytizing and evangelizing, right? You know what proselytizing, that's shoving it down somebody's throat. That's all that judgmental stuff. No, evangelizing is something as simple as, I'm a Catholic, I'm a Christian, I belong to St. Vincent de Paul Church. Or, you know, when you do things like that, there's a chance for healing. It's kind of like, bless me, Father, for I have sinned. You know, those moments of revelation. Because there's always a story behind everybody. There's always something deeper going on. And one of the things I've learned in life is when somebody is having a bad day, you never know what it is. It could be something that happened at work, or something happened with their marriage, or something happened with one of the kids. You know, we need to be gentle with people. Jesus knows what it is. We may not have that privy, but he knows. He knows our hearts. He sees what our story is, the story that we're waiting to tell, right? That's what he saw in those guys, those four fishermen. He knew what gifts and talents they had before they even knew. He knew what they were able to do, and he was able to name them and help them fess up and lower their nets. So whether it's on the shores of the Galilee, on the shores of Lake Erie, at your desk at work, at your school locker, working in your kitchen, in your office, at your workstation, wherever we are, Jesus calls us to abandon our nets, the very thing that holds us back, and to follow him.